Welcome and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the April 23rd, 2023 service at Plymouth, the third Sunday of Easter, and also our Earth Day service. The sermon will be delivered by Elder Bill Eagle.
The Lord owns the land and everything in it.
The land belongs to God.
Not to Dagon, the god of wheat, not to Marduk, god of empire, not to Baal, the fertility god.
Not to Chemon, god of the servers, not to Nike, god of all, or Walmart, god of rule and development.
The owner of the land is Yahweh, the God of Exodus, who brings the oppressed to freedom and healing the injustices that scar the land. It is Yahweh that has let us use the land and given us beauty, food, and home.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness
thereof. Next is the hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King. Thank you.
praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one.
Next is the hymn, O Lord, You're Beautiful.
This morning's first reading is from Leviticus 25, verses 18, 19, and 23. Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live there in safety. The land must not be sold permanently, because the land is mine, and you reside in my land as foreigners and strangers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Our scripture is from the book of Revelation, and it's chapter 11, verses 15 through 18. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints, and those who revere your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Now, today or yesterday was Earth Day. And when I used to work for the Natural Resource Conservation Service, we used to have what we called Soil Stewardship Sunday, where we talked about the land that made our life possible. And so this is my soil stewardship message. I wanted to share this with you. This is the soil. It's a piece of ground, a loose top layer of the Earth's surface. And if I were to go to pour this, and I'm not going to pour this here, this is water. You know, this, the very essence of all life, at least life as we know it. The ancient Hebrews wrote prayers to give thanks for the gifts of God, or the gifts of the soil. These prayers are said today by modern Jews. And it's essentially, it says, "Blessed thou art thou, O eternal, our God, King of the universe, giver of the fruit of the vine, and for the presence, for the produce of the field, and for the desirable, good, and spacious land that you granted our ancestors to inherit, to eat of its fruit, and to be satisfied with its goodness." The ancient Hebrews realized that what we have is a gift of God, and it's a gift from God, that we are stewards of God's creation, and the earth is the Lord's. The year 2021 made an indelible mark on the annals of weather history. It was the hottest in recorded history. Models predict that as the world consumes ever more fossil fuel, greenhouse gas concentrations will continue to rise, and Earth's average surface temperature will rise with them. Based on plausible emission scenarios, average surface temperatures would rise between 3 and 7 degrees by the end of the 21st century. The Permian Great Extinction, which occurred some 252 million years ago, it was the greatest extinction in the world's history. 96% of all life on Earth perished. It was brought about by global warming. It was brought about by volcanic eruptions, which put additional greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, and it took almost a million years for our planet to recover. We're developing dead spots in the Pacific and the Atlantic Oceans, oxygen-deficient spots where no marine life can exist. We are seeing increases in carbon dioxide levels causing acidification of our oceans. Fragile coral reefs are dying. Along with the reefs, we are seeing the disappearance of a multitude of different types of plants and animals. Increased carbon levels can be traced from the present back to the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. Everything really isn't all that fruitful in our modern world. Now, during the 1960s, the Kingston Trio recorded what they called was the Merry Minuet. Now, I'm not going to sing it, but I am going to relate what they said in that song. It says, "They're rioting in Africa, they're starving in Spain, there's hurricanes in Florida, and Texas needs rain. The whole world is festering with unhappy souls. The French hate the Germans hate the Poles, the Italians hate the Yugoslavs, and the South Africans hate the Dutch. And you know, I don't like anybody very much. Now, we can be tranquil and thankful and proud, for man's been endowed with a mushroom-shaped cloud. And who knows, at some lovely day, someone will set the spark off and we'll all be blown away. The riot in Africa, the strife in Iran, and what nature doesn't do to us will be done by our fellow man. Now, if you don't know me or anything about me, my background, let me share with you. I worked 35 years for the Soil Conservation Service, which later became the Natural Resources Conservation Service. I was the district conservationist for Columbia and Clatsop counties. And I was instrumental in the formation of all three of our counties' watershed councils and one of Clatsop counties. I also helped establish the Friends of Fox Creek Group in Rainier, and I'm presently an elected director of the Columbia Soil and Water Conservation District. And I've served as chairs of both the county and the city of St. Helens Park Commissions, and also I was chair of the Gravel Reclamation Commission, also of the county. Many people and many churches don't understand that caring for creation is something that would benefit all of us. It's something that transcends ordinary politics. We also need to save the land that makes us our life exist. We need to care for creation. It's something that transcends ordinary politics, and it's something, and it doesn't, and it, and people say that's fine as long as it doesn't impinge on their profits. Our church, PCUSA, is not the only denomination that supports an environmental ethic. The American Baptist Church, USA, Church of the Brethren, Disciples of Christ, Episcopal Church, USA, Evangelical Lutheran Church, Mennonites, Quakers, Reformed Church of America, Unitarian Universalist Association, the United Church of Christ, the United Methodist Church are all willing to take a stand on environmental issues. All believe that water, air, soil, minerals, energy, resources, plants, animal life, and space are to be valued and conserved because they are God's creation. And not solely because they're useful to human beings. They acknowledge that God has granted us stewardship of creation, and we should meet those standards, stewardship duties through acts of loving care and respect. There's a Mexican saying, and I'm not going to say it in Spanish because I know you guys would correct me because I wouldn't say it right. But what it says is, don't muddy the water because you may have to drink it someday. The Evangelical Lutheran Church of America produced a slide program called To Adam with Love. God, it was a world, a beautiful world, and he was allowed to live in it. It had trees and animals and water and food all for the taking. Adam really enjoyed the world that God gave him. He hunted the animals for food. He cut the trees to make a home. He picked wild berries. But he just wasn't satisfied with what he needed. He found the river a great place to throw his trash and debris. He found it was easier to pull berry bushes out by the roots than individually picking berries. He didn't just stop with hunting animals for food. He started killing them, well, because he enjoyed the thrill of the hunt. Our Adam was careless with fire. As a result of his carelessness, flames consumed both his home and all the trees. The debris that he dumped into the river polluted the water and also restricted the water flow, and a heavy rain caused the river to flood. His indiscriminate killing managed to drive all of the animals away, and his destruction of food plants left him with nothing to eat. In the end, Adam had nothing. Now, do you know what Adam said in response? Adam said, God, whatever did I do to deserve this? We need to realize that all we have, all that this world has to offer, is a gift of God, and that we are stewards of God's creation. As I've stated before, a steward is someone who's given the responsibility of taking care of someone else's property. And the earth is the Lord's. I have the opportunity to teach outdoor school for 5th and 6th graders. One of the lessons that I would teach involved water, and it usually began the lesson by telling them an event in recent history. Well, it's recent to me, but to the kids, it was a time before they were born. On August 29th, 1979, the space probe Voyager was launched. The mission of this probe was to explore the outer planets. It was designed to visit the moons of Jupiter and Saturn, and it was designed to look at the makeup of Uranus and Neptune, and then see what might be in the outer space beyond our solar system. Voyager was looking for something special, something very important. And I usually ask my students, what was it that Voyager was looking for? And the answer is water. Why water? Because water is the very essence of all life. 70% of our bodies are made up of water. We drink water, we bathe in water, we farm with water, we use water for commerce. Fortunes have been founded in water, and wars have been fought over water. Most of the water that we have here on Earth has always been here. It's recycled, and in most cases, very ancient. I discuss the water cycle with my students, and I tell them that the water they drink is probably the same water that the dinosaurs drank. And some of the kids are, ooh, yuck, it's dinosaur water. Yeah, dinosaur water. Nevertheless, our water is limited and needs to be recycled, reused again and again and again. Pure water is very much at a premium. There are things that we all take for granted. We take for granted the air we breathe, the water we drink, the sun that warms us, yet it's this combination that provides us with our very existence. And I'm pleased to say that the Presbyterian Church is willing to take a stand and support environmental justice. And many Presbyterians believe that we owe our children the opportunity to enjoy a future. Our church has helped establish Presbyterians for Earth Care. That's a nationwide eco-justice network. In 1990, the 202nd General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA adopted the policy report, Restoring Creation for Ecology and Justice. The report called for Presbyterians to focus on caring for creation as a central concern and incorporated this concern into the life and mission of our church. Now, Jenny Holmes from our own Presbytery of the Cascades moderates this group. Or at least she did. I don't know whether she still does, but I was on one of her committees. I often think of Proverbs 14:12. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but will lead us onto destruction. And then the story of the Lorax. Echoes this proverb. And let me share a little part of this book with you. The story of the Lorax begins when a man or a creature called the Unseler discovers a valley where wonderful plants known as truffula trees grow. In the valley, we have birds, animals, and fish, pure water and happy creatures. From truffula trees, many wonderful things can be produced. The Unseler discovers that he can cut the trees down and make some wonderful products from them. No sooner does he cut a tree down than a being called the Lorax visits him. To quote Dr. Seuss, "Mister," he says with a sawdusty sneeze, "I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees. I speak for the trees, for the trees have no tongues. I'm asking you, sir, at the top of my lungs." He was very upset and he shouted and puffed, "What's that thing you made out of my truffula tuft?" The Unseler replies, "Lorax, lips, there's no harm for alarm. I chopped just one tree. I'm doing no harm. I'm being quite useful. This thing is a thneed. A thneed is a fine something that everyone needs. It's a shirt, it's a sock, it's a glove, it's a hat. But it can be has other uses. Yes, far beyond that. You can use it for carpets, for pillows, for sheets, or curtains or covers, for bicycle seats." The Unseler hires other helpers and he builds a factory. The business does quite well and he finds it advantageous to enlarge. Says Unseler, "I meant no harm. I most truly do not. But I had to grow bigger, so bigger I got. I biggered my factory, I biggered my roads, I biggered my wagon, I biggered the loads of the thneeds I shipped out. I was shipping them far forth to the south, to the east, to the west, to the north. I went right on biggering, selling more thneeds, and I biggered my money, which everyone needs." In the process of getting bigger, Unseler manages to pollute the water, foul the air. He does this as well as ruin the habitat for the creatures that live in the truffula trees. The Lorax tries to lecture Unseler, because Unseler loses his temper. And then I got mad. I got terribly mad. I yelled at the Lorax, "Now, listen here, Dad. All you do is yap, 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 and say bad, 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 bad. Well, I have my rights, sir. And I'm telling you, I intend to go on Big Green just as I do. And for your information, you Lorax, I'm figuring on biggering and biggering and biggering and biggering. Turning more truffle of trees into sneeds, which everyone, everyone, everyone needs." About this time, Unseler cuts last truffle of tree. Nothing more remains but stumps his factory, polluted water, and polluted air. And the Unseler now has absolutely nothing. The Lorax leaves. The Unseler's weakness, he couldn't project. He was unable to realize the consequences of his actions. All he could see was that now, not the what, will, or can be. To quote Dr. Seuss again, "And all that the Lorax left here in this mess was a small pile of rocks with one word, unless." Whatever that meant, well, I couldn't guess. That was long, long ago. But each day, since that day, I've sat here and worried away. Through the years, while my buildings have fallen apart, I've worried about it with all my heart. But now, says Unseler, now that you're here, the word of the Lorax seems perfectly clear, unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot. Nothing's going to get better. It's not. So, catch, calls the Unseler. He lets something fall. It's a truffle seed. It's the last one of all. You're in charge of the last of the truffle seeds, and the truffle trees are what everyone needs. Plant a new truffle. Treat it with care. Give it clean water. Feed it fresh air. Grow a forest. Protect it from axes that hack. And then the Lorax and all his friends may come back, unless. When Adam ate of the fruit of the tree, he knew both good and evil. He became more than just a clever animal. God gave us power over all the earth, and in the process made us stewards of this planet. And I've said before, a steward is a person who is supposed to take care of another's property. We don't own this world. The world belongs to God. I say this is water, the very essence of all life, at least life as we know it. This is soil, the foundation of our world, the medium of growth for all our plants. And this poor thing is a plant. It grows in the soil. It's nurtured by water, and with it, we are nurtured as well. I tell the children that I work with that they are the next generation. I tell them that they have tremendous power. They have the power to change the world. Their generation will be able to change this world either for better or for worse. They will decide. We as human beings have that ability. We have free will. We can decide how we will treat the world. We as a church have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to care for God's creation. We can make the earth a better place, or we can destroy what God has given us. Genesis 1:22. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fall multiply in the earth." And the psalm reads, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof." The earth is the Lord's. And it's our job to take care of what God has given us. So instead of me concluding by saying amen, I say, let us conclude with, and please join me, this is the work of the church. Say it. This is the work of the church. And now I'll say amen.
Next is the hymn, "This Is My Father's World." Thank you.
is the time that we are ready to leave. Lord, when you leave, we pray that you bring with you a love of the land, a love of the world, and go out to a more beautiful world, and to help us create an even better world yet. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.